exactly.
Turn with me to the 43rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel this morning for a beginning. 43. come here again, I get that because of Paul's message last Sunday. It got me thinking about the church being hidden, and I believe part of it is in the fact that there's so much confusion about what pure religion really is. Everybody's got a different idea. Everybody's got a little verse. All got a song and a hymn. And they don't look at the whole Word of God. They just pick out a little something that suits them, fits them, and their belief is based upon their feelings and not upon the Word of God. And it can look so good. And it can sound so good. I was even thinking this week, everybody's talking about pray for this nation. I don't know if that's right or not. Lord has been known to say, don't pray for this people. So it may not be what he is looking for. May not be in his will. And hopefully it is that there be some prayer for this nation and it will turn itself around. But most religion today is strictly based upon man's superstitions. In the 7th verse, he said, and he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredoms, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. In their setting of their threshold, by my thresholds, in their post, by my post, and the wall between me and them, they have even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed, wherefore I have consumed them in mine anger. Now let them put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. There's promise and there's hope and there's warning, all in the middle of the whole thing. I've thought about this oftentimes when they call it hero comes along and we go to idolizing him and praising him and setting him up on a high pedestal, and that's what he's talking about here. But people are prone to worship just anything and everything, and especially when it comes to nationalism or something like that, they're prone to worship those things. And I think we need to be careful about these things that they don't consume us also. We know it's quite easy for us to be turned from one side or the other. I often think about Jesus telling the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, search the scripture. Well, that's a good admonition, isn't it? For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. What men are seeing today in their visions certainly is not the image of Jesus Christ. In the book of Ezekiel, it is quite clear about the house. You build it exactly according to the pattern. And he gives descriptive language of how to build it. And it's got to be built this certain way, and you can't add anything to it or take anything from it. Over in the book of Kings, we see the king taking all the vessels of the house of worship and modifying, changing them up, making them different, and setting them up again for worship, but not true worship, because the worship had been modified. And for the most part today, that's what worship is. It has been modified to please the thoughts of men and not God. It won't bring about any sort of change in man. Well, it might give him some little better principles. But it'll be such that they have to keep prodding them every week and say, don't do this and don't do that and don't do that. And because the Spirit is not in the middle of that thing. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, in verse 30, he said, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. After that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. And that's the kind of way it is. Well, we're all trying to get to the same place. So how are you going to get there? Search the scripture, because it is Jesus Christ himself. In the beginning was the Word, and he was that Word. And thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Now we'd say, no, we don't do that. But really they do. When you go off worshiping some strange god, and that's what these things are, outside of our God, it is a strange god. You have sacrificed unto that thing and not under God. And he said, what thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. That's exactly the way the book of Revelation ends. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything from it. It's complete in itself. Search the scripture. See what it has to say. Don't just pick you out one and say, well, the Lord's going to bless this. I've said before and I'll say it again, it's much better to understand the principles of the thing than it is some certain scripture. If you get the principles of godliness down, it'll be much better for you than just picking out some little scripture. A lot of talk going on right now about pray for this and pray for that. And you know, the corona's not going to get me because the Lord is with me, but be careful. Don't tempt the Lord. I don't know what he has for us, except the end of it, that it'll all be well for the people of God. But he didn't say you wasn't going to suffer anything along the way. Matter of fact, he said the exact opposite. You are going to suffer some of these things that are in the world. So we need to be careful. In chapter 13, in verse 6, he said, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife, or thy bosom, of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you. Now unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him. Well, that's pretty much a picture of our day. We got all this religion around us, and it can sound so good. And they are proselyting every soul they can get. They're hard at work at it. I guarantee you, they're working hard, day and night at it, proselyting the people. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. Lord's pretty serious about this thing now. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. We're going to consent to get this thing from among us, because it's fixing to tear us down. And we better stop it before it gets out of hand, because the old devil is pretty sharp. Yeah, he's a... he can deceive you in a second. We think pretty lightly of these things. Sometimes we even kind of make fun or make light of the people that are trying to proselyte to other people. But it's serious thing. Unless the Lord have mercy upon us, we'll do that very thing. We'll follow after them, because it's so easy to do. In the book of Exodus, the 30th chapter, in verse 30, I guess, and we've been here long ago, and thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it, after the composition of it, It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you, and whosoever compoundeth any lacketh, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. So even down to the anointing oil, it wouldn't make anything like it. It was a holy oil. That's what the preaching of the gospel ought to be. It ought to be of holiness and purity. Not changing it up to suit your own ideas. That's kind of listening to all the soothsayers and all that kind of stuff. All this end time preaching, I get amused at it, and then I get mad when I think about it. Everybody's got to bang down when the Lord is coming. In my book said it, you're not going to know. Coming as a thief in the night, and all this trying to lay this stuff out here where people will think you know something. I don't know anything unless the Lord give it to me. I have concluded that long ago. And neither does the next man either. It must come by the Spirit. The spirit of man can't even recognize the Spirit of God. In the book of Romans, the 16th chapter. I guess verse 16, salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Don't be messing with them. I'm of this opinion. This would be my opinionated idea here. But if anybody comes and asks you what you know about saving faith or grace or any of the other, do your best to tell him. But don't go poking the bear. He'll turn on. If he asks you something, be ready to answer it. He said, for they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Now, that's pretty much exactly what's going on in our world today. It's just something to please the old flesh, the belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Simple-minded? Yeah, if you're not listening. If you're not searching. He said, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Oh, wait a minute, I skipped the verse. Said, for they that are such serve not their own, but not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And that's what I want to bring out. It's easy to be deceived. Because, like I said again, it can sound so good. There's a lot of them today. You could go in there and sit for maybe a whole service and you'd think these folks have got it. But But if you keep on searching it out, you'll figure out that they just got a piece of it. And they've cut the legs off the furniture that come out of the Lord's house and built a stone base to sit it on. It's what they done over in the Book of Kings. Ahaz decided that stuff wasn't right. Lord didn't know what he is doing when he told them to build it according to the pattern. We'll do it better. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under his feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Lord will handle it. He's always been able to see the end from the beginning. People don't really believe that today. They think this world is just wobbling along, doing what it wants to do. And they'll even say this, well, the Lord allowed that to happen, and that's partly right. But he also caused it to happen. So it's not just wobbling along, just carelessly going. The Lord is sincere in all that he has said. Show them the house. Measure it. Take plumb line, build it exactly according to that way the Lord has described it. Over in the book of Psalms, the 109th chapter, kind of an unusual psalm. A few verses here. He said, hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good, and hated for my love. Second time he's mentioned that love. You know, they just do not understand nowadays anything about love. It's strictly all related to lust and not love. He said, set thou a wicked man over him, and set Satan, and let Satan stand his right hand. Lord, do this. This is his prayer. Take them down. Don't let them keep on going. And put Satan beside them to keep prodding them and accusing them and causing them to look. Just let him be there and prod them on. And he said, when he shall have judged, let him be condemned, and his prayer become sin. So, Lord, it's not in our power. They stay after us continually. But come, Lord, and take care of us.
everywhere from the beginning to the end, we are admonished to come out from among them and be separate. We're all in the world, but we're not of the world. And, you know, again, it's amazing how little people think of God. How little they think of his power, of his understanding, of his all-knowing, his knowledge. How many of us today would love to see hundreds, thousands, perhaps even millions turn to the Lord? But those that will be turned to the Lord, he has appointed to that before the foundation of the world. How many of you love to talk to people about God, about the scriptures, about Jesus Christ? We all love to do that. But how many love for you to talk to them about those things? They like it as long as it's just kind of lighthearted and just kind of a God loves you no matter what. They love that. It is a lie, and it's not love, JT. And yet that's what the people want. And it's still the same as it was in Jeremiah's day. The priests bear rule still by their own means, and the people love to have it so. I am reminded again of Elihu's words in the 33rd chapter of Job, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not." Doesn't matter how long and how often and how much and how fervently God speaks, man perceives it not. But in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. And when he says that man perceiveth it not, he's even talking about you and me. Have you ever read the Bible and said, "I wonder what that means"? And then you thought you knew. And then Brother Jerry and I were talking before the services. You read it again, and behold, you didn't know nearly as much as you thought you did. And you can try and try and try to understand a verse of scripture, and it will not come to you. But then all of a sudden, one time, you may be reading another verse of scripture, or you may just be thinking upon the things of God, and all of a sudden it will come to you. And bless your soul. But there's a reason that God does this. Why is that? That he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from men.